to another morning, greeting my eyes so graciously dawning, bringing life. How I love this feeling of all living things reflecting my freedom. But sometimes I'd like to be a bird, or maybe a tree, standing tall, or just gliding on the breeze, living on this earth in total harmony with nature, always there as a guide. Put away your weapons for pain. Make this earth growing again. Open your heart, open your hands. Or do we have to wait until all the beauty is gone to see that living is one? Oh.
Keep hurting ourselves and anything else.
our means to rejudge us. Put away your weapons for pain. Make this earth growing again. Open your heart, open your hands. Oh, or do we have to wait until all the beauty is gone to see that living is one, is one, is one.
This is Osho Radio from Amsterdam in Holland. Today you can listen to a part of a discourse of Osho. Listening to Osho at least once a week, you will hear a different sound, a different voice, a different message, different from all the empty noise that surrounds you all week long. The discourse is from the Book of Wisdom. Today's discourse is about the mind, about the past, and how we go about it. Because life goes ahead and your mind lives in the past, life and mind can never meet. This, says Osho, is the knot you have to untie in your life. Yes, you have to cut it again and again.
Thank you.
because life goes ahead. And your mind is past oriented. Mind and life never meet. Mind goes backwards, lives backwards. Mind is a rear view mirror. Use it when the occasion arises. Yes, the rear view mirror in the car has some important function to fulfill. But if you become obsessed with the rear view mirror and you only look into the rear view mirror and drive the car looking always into the rear view mirror, then there is going to be danger. Then there is going to be accidents and accidents and nothing else. And that's what has been happening to humanity. Look 3,000 years of history and you will find only accidents and accidents and accidents. In 3,000 years we have fought 5,000 wars. What more accidents do you want? And in these 3,000 years, what we have done to the earth, to nature, we have destroyed ecology. Now if something is not done immediately, the earth may become uninhabitable. The earth has been poisoned by us. We are killing it. And we have to live on it. And we are turning it into a corpse. It has started stinking in many places. We have given nature and earth a cancer. Nature has given us life and we are giving death to nature in return. And the basic reason, the basic cause is that we have been listening to the mind which moves backwards. Mind means past. Mind has no idea of the present, cannot have any idea of the present. Mind only means that which has been lived, known, experienced, the accumulated past. It cannot have any contact with the present. It will have the contact only when the present is no more present and has become past. And life moves ahead. We live in the present and we move in the future. And mind never lives in the present and always clings to the past. This is the dichotomy, the greatest calamity. This is the knot that has to be cut. Atisa says, don't do things backwards. Another meaning of this sutra is that remember, life can be lived really only if you live it naturally. If you impose artificial commandments over it, you will destroy it. For example, I told you, unless you love yourself, you cannot love anybody else. Hence, I say to you, be selfish. Because only out of selfishness, altruism is born. But you have been told again and again that you are worthless. you have been told that you have no value, that as you are only worth condemnation, that as you are bound to hell. You have to be worthy. You have to change. You have to become a saint. This and that. One thing is certain, that as you are not of any worth. How can you love yourself? And when a person cannot love himself and hates himself, he hates everybody else. He hates the whole world. By hating himself, he becomes life negative. And the person who is life negative is life destructive. Your monks and nuns have been all life negative. They have not affirmed life. They have not nourished life. They have not beautified life. They have not been a blessing to the world. They have been a curse. Your monasteries should disappear. We don't need monasteries. We certainly need sannyasins, but they should live in the world, part of the world, transforming the world. But the basic transformation that has to happen is they should be lovers of themselves. The person who does not love himself becomes a masochist. He starts torturing himself. And these masochists have been worshipped as saints down the ages. And a person who is a masochist cannot be anything else than a sadist too. Because who tortures himself would like everybody to be tortured. Torturing becomes his sacrifice to God. So there have been masochists, there have been sadists, and because in life you cannot find any quality pure, so you will not find masochists and sadists separate. It is almost always the case that the same person is both maso-sadist. Everybody is like that. You have been conditioned by your religions in such a way that you are against yourself and against others. On the one hand, you torture yourself with beautiful rationalizations, and on the other, you torture others again with beautiful rationalizations. Life has become a torture chamber, a concentration camp. It is no more a celebration. It should be a celebration. If nature is allowed to take its own course, it is bound to be a celebration. So the last thing to be remembered, do not do things backwards. Go with nature. Don't try to go upstream. Go with the stream of life. Go with the river. Don't push the river. Don't try to conquer nature. You cannot. You can only destroy it and destroy yourself in the effort. The very idea of conquering nature is violent, ugly. Victory is not going to be against nature. Victory is possible only with nature. Don't vacillate. Your mind will vacillate. Mind is vacillation. Mind is either or. Mind is always in that space of to be or not to be. If you really want to grow, mature, if you really want to know what this life is all about, don't vacillate. Commit. Involve. Involve with life. Get committed to life. Don't remain a spectator. Don't go on thinking whether to do or not. Should I do this or that? You can go on vacillating your whole life. And the more you vacillate, the more trained you become in vacillation. Life is for those who know how to commit. How to say yes to something. How to say no to something, decisively, categorically. Once you have become categorically said yes or no to something, then you can take a jump. Then you can dive deep into the ocean. People are just sitting on the fence. Millions of people are fence sitters. This way or that. Just waiting for the opportunity to come. And the opportunity will never come because it has already come. It is there. My own suggestion is that even if sometimes it happens that you commit to the wrong thing, even then it is good to commit. Because the day you will know it is wrong, you can get out of it. At least you would have learned one thing, that it is wrong. That never get into anything like that again. It is a great experience. It brings you closer to truth. Why people vacillate so much? Because from the very childhood you have been told not to commit any mistake. That is one of the greatest teachings of all the societies all over the world. And very dangerous, very harmful. Teach children to commit as many mistakes as possible with only one condition. Don't commit the same mistake again, that's all. And they will grow. And they will experience more and more. And they will not vacillate. Otherwise, a trembling. And time is passing by out of your hands. And you are vacillating. I see many people standing on the shore, vacillating. Whether to take the jump or not. Here it happens every day. Just few days before, one young man came to me. For 3 years he has been vacillating whether to take sannyas or not. I said, decide either yes or no and be finished with it. And I am not saying decide yes. I am only saying decide. No is as good as yes. But wasting 3 years, if you had taken sannyas 3 years before, I told him, by this time, you would have known whether it is worth or not. At least one thing would have been decided. vacillating 3 years, nothing has been decided. You are in the same space, and 3 years have gone by. Atisa says, don't vacillate. Train as though cut off. This is the secret of meditation, the last sutra today. Train as though cut off. Mind is vacillation. The discipline of a meditator is to become so watchful of the mind, so alert of the mind and its stupidities, its hesitations, its tremblings, its vacillations, to become so watchful that you are cut off. That is the whole purpose of watching. Watching cuts you off. Watch anything in the mind and you are cut off. Watching is a source. If a thought is moving in your mind, just watch it. And suddenly you will see the thought is there, you are here, and there is no bridge left. Don't watch and you become identified with the thought. You become it. Watch and you are not it. Mind possesses you because you have forgotten how to watch. Learn it. Just looking at a rose flower, watch it. Or at the stars. Or the people passing on the road, sit by the side and watch. And then slowly, slowly close your eyes and see the inner traffic moving. Thousands of thoughts, desires, dreams passing by. It is always rush hour there. Just watch as somebody watches a river flowing by, sitting on the bank. Just watch. And watching, you will become aware that you are not it. Mind is in being identified with it. No mind is being disidentified with it. Don't be a mind, because in fact, you are not a mind. Then who are you? You are consciousness. You are that watchfulness. You are witnessing. You are that pure observation, that mirror-like quality that reflects everything, but never becomes identified with anything. And remember, I am not saying that you are conscious. I am saying you are consciousness. That is your true identity. The day one knows I am consciousness, one has come to know the ultimate. Because the moment you know I am consciousness, you also know all is consciousness on different planes. The rock is conscious in its own way. And the tree is conscious in its own way. And the animals and the people. Everybody is conscious in his own way. And consciousness is a multifaceted diamond. The day you know I am consciousness, you have known the universal truth. you have come to the goal. Socrates says, man, know thyself. That is the teaching of all the Buddhas. Know thyself. How you are going to know yourself? If mind remains too much and goes on clamoring around you, goes on making great noise, you will never hear the still small voice within. You have to become disidentified with the mind. George Gurdjieff used to say that my whole teaching can be condensed into one word, and that is disidentification. He is right. Not only his teaching can be condensed into one word, all the teaching of all the masters can be condensed into one word, disidentification. Don't be identified with the mind. That is the meaning of Atisa. He says, train as though cut off. Discipline yourself into deep awareness so that you are cut off from the mind. If you can have only a single moment of this cut offness, the first satori has happened. In the second satori, you become capable of cutting off from the mind whenever you want. In the first satori, it happens accidentally, meditating, watching. One day it happens, almost like an accident. You were groping in the dark and you have stumbled upon the door. The first satori is a stumbling on the door. The second satori is becoming perfectly aware where the door is, and whenever you want to go, you can go to the door. Whenever you want to go. Even in the marketplace, surrounded by all clamor of the market, you can go to the door. Suddenly you can become cut off. And the third satori is when you are absolutely cut off, that even if you want to join with the mind, you cannot. You can use it like a machine separate from you. But even in your deep sleep, you are not identified with it. These are the three satoris, three samadhis. First, accidental stumbling. Second, becoming more deliberate, conscious in reaching to the door. And third, becoming attuned so deeply with the door that you never lose track of it. That it is always there, always open. This is the state called Satori in Japan, Samadhi in India. In English, it is translated as ecstasy. That word is beautiful. Literally, it means standing out. Ecstasy means standing out. Standing out of the mind. Atisa's last sutra, train as though cut off, is exactly the meaning of the word ecstasy. So cut off from the mind that you are standing out. That mind is there, but you are not it. Some people have also started translating samadhi not as ecstasy, but as instasy. That too is beautiful. Because it is not standing out. It is standing out of the mind, if you think of the mind. But if you think of consciousness, then it is standing in. As far as mind is concerned, ecstasy is the right word. But as far as consciousness is concerned, instasy is far more better. But both are two aspects of the same thing. Standing out of the mind is standing in consciousness. Knowing that I am not mind is knowing I am consciousness. Aham Brahmasmi. That is the meaning of the Upanishadic saying, I am God, I am consciousness. Enough for today.
Today's meditation is called In the Present, Here Now. A man who is aware cannot move in the past, because it is no more. A man who is aware cannot move in the future, because it is not yet. A man who is aware lives in the present, here now. Here is his only space, and now is his only time. And because he is only here now, time as such disappears. Eternity is born. Timelessness is born. Thank you. This was Osho Radio for today. We had a lot of music by Maniko, by Ramananda, Devakant, Satgyan, music from the world of Osho, and Prem Joshua. Next week we'll be back with you with a buzzing program of Osho Radio Live. Bye bye!